You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com website, a handy place to find podcasts from around the Locked On universe. You can go there for MLB, NFL, NBA, and college content. Make sure to go check it out. Finally, yet again, we have a handy place to grab all that great content that the Locked On Network is putting out every single day. Also, I would encourage you to go rate and subscribe. Please give us a 5-star rating here at the Locked On Wolves podcast. Go rate and subscribe on iTunes. And remember that you can find this podcast anywhere you download your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all of those places and more. You can go and find the Locked On Wolves podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I want to make sure I say that a lot to you guys because I appreciate your continued loyalty and your ears for about 20 to 25 minutes every single day of the week. I appreciate it. And please keep coming back. It's a joy to be producing this content for you guys every single day of the week. And I just want to make sure you are appreciated. So, after all that sappy stuff, let's get to some Timberwolves conversation. Yesterday, I had a great podcast with Matt George of the Locked On Kings podcast. Talked about the matchup between the Kings and the Timberwolves. He gave us a little bit of an inside scoop on the Kings, made sure that you were uber prepared for the game that is going down tonight between the Timberwolves and the Kings. That is their final road game of a 5-game series that the Timberwolves have been on. The saga in the West is finally concluding tonight. So make sure you check that out and make sure you're listening to the podcast beforehand to get prepared. Today, I didn't do that today because I wanted to finish out the week talking about rookies, specifically Josh Okogie and how he is stacking up against the rookie class this year. It's a pretty solid rookie class if you're just looking top to bottom, if you're going by official leaders and you're looking at Luka Doncic, you're looking at Trae Young, DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson, Wendell Carter Jr., Shai Gilchrist Alexander, Miles Bridges. I mean, the names keep going on and on. A lot of really, really talented young athletes. It's been a real pleasure to watch, well, not only the NBA this year, but that is true as well, but to watch these rookies, it's been a fun class, and I think there was, after last year's class, there maybe was an anticipation. I know I've talked to some people that are around the NBA, there was a little bit of anticipation, or people who cover the NBA, I should say, that this class was set to... Disappoint sounds like the wrong word, but it was unfair maybe in some people's minds to have uber high expectations for some of the rookies coming into this class after how good last year's class was. And it has been fun to watch these players. I think they, for the most part, have been really good, really exceptional athletes, really fun to watch. You've had guys who you knew were going to be really good play really well, like Doncic. You've had Young. Ayton has been really good, an uber athlete. You've got those guys who you knew they were going to be really good, and they're performing. You've got guys who I think maybe fell into really great spots. Dante DiVincenzo comes to mind as somebody who I think he's been playing really well, and it seems like he just fell into the perfect spot for him and his skill sets to really excel with the Bucks. And then you've got, of course, your surprises, guys that kind of went under the radar, maybe weren't talked about enough, guys like Jalen Brunson who are playing really well, and maybe it has to do with the fit, or maybe it's just because they have an opportunity, but guys like that playing really well, playing exceptionally. And so it's been a fun class, and as I was thinking about it this week, I kind of wanted to see with how fun this class has been, how is it Josh Okogie, the talented rookie for the Timberwolves, how is he stacking up to these guys? How is he adding up to these rookies? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a look at Josh Okogie. And this isn't going to be one of those where we're adding it up to see if the Timberwolves made the right pick. I'm not doing that. It's way too early in the season. It's way too early in Josh Okogie's career. It's way too early in all of these guys' careers to start saying, gosh, why didn't we take so-and-so? Or it's really a bummer that so-and-so wasn't available. I mean, one of the guys who I think both landed in the best spot and might be one of the best players out of this draft, Lonnie Walker, isn't even playing yet because of a knee injury. It's unfair to try and make decisions about what happened on draft night and if they were good or bad quite yet, especially when guys like Josh Okogie are still developing. All these guys are still developing, but so many things in Josh Okogie's skill set are still coming along. So I'm not going to do that. I just wanted to kind of update you and show you what he's excelling at, where he is maybe behind other rookies, kind of like when you're a kid and you go up against the wall where your parents have been kind of etching for the last few years, not only where you are growing but where your brothers and sisters have both etched where they've grown when they were kids and are still continuing to mark where they're growing and how tall they're getting. And so it's kind of one of those where it's a measuring stick. You're here, these guys are here, these guys are underneath, but it's not necessarily good or bad. I just want to take a look and size him up against the other rookies, and I think show some of the ways where the Timberwolves got really lucky by getting Josh Okogie, because if you look into some of these numbers that we're going to get into, he has been really exceptional in some areas. So let's dive into it and see how Josh Okogie is stacking up against some of these guys in this really fun rookie class. So if you go to just traditional stats and you're looking right away, points per game, and again, you got to dig through some of these numbers because there's rookies that have played 11 games or 10 games, have been a part of pretty much every game that their team has been out there. And then there's rookies that have played only a couple games, and so that kind of makes the stat sheet, it can look a little wonky sometimes. But if you're parsing through some of this stuff, you gotta just be careful and make sure that you're actually stacking him up against guys who have played games. I'm stacking him up today against guys who have actually played double-digit games. And so when I'm looking at Josh Okogie and his points per game, I'm stacking him up against guys like Doncic, who is averaging 20.2 points per game. He's leading the rookie class in scoring. Right behind him is Trae Young and DeAndre Ayton at 18.6 and 15.7 points, respectively. 10th on this list, Josh Okogie at 8.7 points per game. Now, he is averaging 36% from the field, 24% from three-point range. So his shooting definitely is, when you're looking at just offense, for him really on his own and in comparison to other players, if you're looking at his offensive production, the points per game you like, and you like that he's getting a pretty decent amount of shots outside of those top three, like I mentioned, really no guys who are, or really rookies in general, but rookies who have played in double-digit games, they aren't getting a ton of shots. He's one of the top guys outside of those top three of Doncic, Young, and Ayton who are getting more than six shots per game. And you look at some of these guys, Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson, they're getting nine shots per game. Wendell Carter's getting nine, and Colin Sexton. But after that, it's a pretty sparse number of guys who are getting more than six shots or six shot attempts per game. And so right off the bat, you see that his percentages are kind of down just as far as what he's making. but you like that he is getting a lot of looks. Almost 8.7 attempts per game, almost basically 9 attempts per game. Josh Okogie is getting looks in this offense. I know it helps that he is with the weird Jimmy Butler situation that he's gotten starts, but I like that he's getting looks. I like that despite having a 24% shot from three-point range, he's still averaging 3.3 attempts from range per game. If you go outside of Doncic and Young, there's really not any rookies who are playing in more than 9 games and getting that many looks from deep and getting that many opportunities from deep. You look at most of these guys. I think the outlier here is Dante DiVincenzo has 4 attempts. Shamet has 4.4 attempts from 3, but most of these guys are averaging 2 or 1 attempts from 3. I just, looking at this, I like that Josh Okogie seems to be getting just as many opportunities to score, and the offense, the Timberwolves offense, seems to have faith in him like teams that drafted guys really high. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good way to build confidence for a rookie. Give him lots of reps and then have a team that has confidence in him. If you're looking at these numbers, I think the proper way to interpret it is that they believe that Josh Okogie can be a guy in this offense, and they're going to give him looks. They're going to put him in situations to succeed. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I like the opportunities that he's getting offensively. And there's plenty of room for growth there. He can become, you need him to become a better shooter, but they're giving him that opportunity to grow. Now, if we're going to stats that you really want to see him excel in, you go to the defensive end of this. And you see some really encouraging numbers from Josh Okogie. You knew that his defense, right away you knew his defense was going to be something that set him apart from other rookies, but also gave him a chance to really play meaningful minutes and really get lots of opportunity for the Timberwolves specifically. And then talking to him, I mentioned this a bunch of times, but talking to him in Summer League, talking to coaches in Summer League, the perception around him was they really wanted him to crack away at the defensive end of his game and really excel there, and that was the way he was going to get more time on the court, more minutes, and then trust that the offense would develop along the way. And so you're looking at some of these. I like going to the NBA.com, the rookie leaderboards for Hustle, just because I think that this is a really good way not only to see effort, not only to see in the stat sheets, not only to see effort, not only to see kind of how he's working throughout a game, to see how he is attacking opposing offenses, but I also think it's a good indicator of how free-flowing and loose he's playing. And you can't have him playing constricted and have him overthinking plays, because then he's just going to make either the wrong read, or he's going to sit on stuff too long. He's not going to react as quickly. And defense is all about reaction, right? No matter what sport you're in, defense is all about being able to react quickly and in that split second make the right reaction and make those reads quickly and trust yourself. I had in high school, I had a defensive coordinator in football tell me that, if you play sports at any level, you've had somebody who's trying to coach you defense. He or she has said this to you at one point: it's better to make a mistake at 100 miles an hour than to make the right read at 40% speed or at 30% speed, because then you're probably not going to make the play anyways, even if you had the right read. And it's better to be flying around and learn how to make the right read at 100% than go half-cocked or at 40%. And that's the way Josh Okogie plays. And you look at these hustle stats: deflections, 2.4, contested 2-point shots, 3.1, percent contested 3-point shots, 3.3. Those are all either leading or at the top of the boards for rookies. And He is contesting tons of shots. He's right there in opposition's faces when he is guarding somebody or when he is out there making plays. Loose balls recovered. He is up near the top, excuse me, as well, 0.8 per game. And then deflections, he is one of the best in the rookie class. And again, 2.4 in his 10 games played. And it is encouraging to see him play so fast and free-flowing. I think this is the way that Wiggins started out. And I think that's what gave you those flashes of what could be for Wiggins if he continues to grow in his ceiling those first couple of years. And then last year you saw kind of the constrictive version of Wiggins. And so really that's the way you want Josh Okogie to play, is fast and free-flowing. And I think that's kind of, you can take Wiggins as kind of the beware story for the Timberwolves. Is, look, obviously you don't want to be too soft on these guys. You got to be a coach. You got to coach them up. You've got to point out mistakes and help them learn and grow. But if you really break a guy kind of mentally, like I think happened a little bit for Wiggins last year. And again, there's other problems around Wiggins. I get that too. But also, they really, Butler cracking down on him, he didn't respond that well. The way that Tibbs coaches and the way Tibbs was coaching Wiggins, he wasn't responding to that. They kind of broke him a little bit, it seemed, and he didn't play fast and free-flowing. Let that be kind of a warning lesson. That's the way you can't approach Josh Okogie. You got to keep him coaching up. But he is making decisions fast. He's making reads fast. And for the most part, it's paying off. He's one of the better defenders, one of the better reactionary defenders in this rookie class. Just looking at the stats, it fleshes itself out in the stats. And so you don't want to ruin the way he is playing right now. But you also have to keep him growing, and there's a way to do that. And I just want the Timberwolves to be careful. A coach like Tibbs, I think, can easily break a rookie's confidence, and you don't want to see that happen. But as of right now, as far as this class, he is one of the better reactionary defenders, and that is a really good thing for Timberwolves defense that desperately needs guys to make plays and grab turnovers. And it's a good thing for the Timberwolves. You go deeper into the defensive stats. If you're looking at defended field goals made versus attempted, Josh Okogie per game, 10.1 attempted defensive field goals, and he's only allowing 5.4 to be made. That's one of the better differentials in this rookie class as well, 6.6 differential percentage. I say that five times fast. And amongst guys, that is one of the better marks, especially amongst guys who have played double-digit games. And again, this is all pointing towards Okogie playing really well defensively and playing at a high level defensively and reaching some or doing some things for this defense of the Timberwolves that is desperately needed. And this is all justifying why you need to give him a lot of minutes, why you need to give him a lot of opportunities. And I think that if you continue to see him grow, you continue to see Wiggins progress, this team can make a turnaround. I know a 4-8 start is depressing, but if you're looking at some of, especially these defensive stats, you're seeing a rookie who's really making a difference. Sometimes down the stretch of games here, that can be all this team needs to really kick it into a high gear in the next month or so. Hopefully that's what can happen. But against the rookie class that he is playing in, he is doing very well defensively. He's one of the better defenders. And offensively, I think you're seeing the right things from him. And let's get back to the offensive side of this again. So if you're looking at just the shot selection for Josh Okogie, two-point shots, 61% frequency is taking two-point shots. and he's hitting 42% of his 2-point field goals versus 24%, like I said, of his 3-point shots. He's taking with a frequency of 3-point shots, 38.8% is his frequency rate from range. So when you've got a guy who is knocking down 2.2 two-pointers of the 5.2 he is attempting, I think that there is, now if you're looking at the stats, there's a little bit of a danger to think, oh my goodness, this is a 3-point shooting team that yet again has another guy like Andrew Wiggins, who is really good at being an uber athlete and dashing and being faster and just beating guys to the rim or finding that kind of mid-range shot, and they're needing him to take more threes than he is comfortable with. Now, that is a deduction that you can make. I mean, it is, again, it's a small sample size, but the stats would kind of hold out to, yeah, they kind of have Josh Okogie right now in the offensive role that they were trying to get Wiggins into, and it's working about the same amount. I would say this, though. The pace of the Timberwolves is so much better this year, and the transition offense, the fast break points, is so much better this year to where I think that there is enough room for Okogie and Wiggins. Because what you don't want is you don't want – because right now, even if Butler gets traded soon, you still have a few guys – excuse me – like Wiggins, Josh Okogie. Those guys are kind of taking the same kind of shots. And then if those guys are taking the same kind of shots, then you have guys like Taj Gibson, Towns, you're asking them to take a few more threes if you're not playing Anthony Tolliver or James Lundley, those guys a bulk of minutes. And that can be kind of a sticky spot to get into. And so then you have the other side of it where you have Josh Okogie, who's just, if he is not a three-point shooter that you need him to be, he's taking a lot of threes and he is stuck in this offense where he can't really produce at a high level. I don't think that's the situation. I think that the transition offense, the fast break points, allows Okogie to get a pretty fair amount of offensive production without even having to affect the way he's playing in the half court. I also really think that there is a way to have it all. I think you can grow Josh Okogie as a 3-point shooter. And if that is not, if it turns out a year from now and it kind of looks like maybe he's just not the guy who can take 5 threes a game, and really his sweet spot is more like 2.5 threes a game, and he is kind of more in the blueprint of a offensive player like an Andrew Wiggins, and you need him taking not a ton of threes, maybe not as many threes as you need, I think there's a way where you can play Anthony Tolliver, you can play guys like James Nunley, you can play, and Derrick Rose has shown that he can knock down some three-pointers. You can spread it around enough, and this offense is playing with better space than it was last year, to where you can have a bunch of guys taking three threes and you can still space the floor enough, and you still can get Josh Okogie, Andrew Wiggins, you can still work them in creatively into this offense without kind of playing over the top of each other. And so when you're looking at Josh Okogie in this rookie class, he's kind of middle of the road as far as offensive production and offensive efficiency. But I think there is an avenue for Josh Okogie to become a better offensive piece while still fitting in this offense. And I think there's a way to do that, even if the fear, and if you're looking at the numbers, that is kind of justified to say it's a small sample size, but what if he is kind of stuck in that same purgatory right now as Wiggins was last year? There is a way to recognize that and play away from it and still play Okogie and Wiggins effectively together and play them with guys like Taj Gibson and Towns, and also play them really well with guys like Anthony Tolliver. And so I think the ceiling of Josh Okogie offensively as far as this rookie class is still pretty high and still up there with some of the better players in this rookie class. I think there is a really great way to play him alongside these guys. And I think that the Timberwolves are going to find a stride for him. I don't think that he is going to be like Wiggins, where he just can't find a stroke and can't shoot volume from three. I just think that he needs to grow. I think that there's not a super big push for him to make leaps and bounds offensively each week or even each month. I think that the Timberwolves are doing a really good job of kind of sticking to what the mantra was this summer. He's an uber athlete. He's going to make plays on offense. We need him to be a defensive stud. And I think there's a real admirable nature to the Timberwolves holding to that, not putting too much pressure on him offensively, letting him grow there, and letting him being comfortable letting him maybe shoot 24% for a little while from three, and being comfortable with him growing and just being a guy who can help get you turnovers, can help this defense. And you know that guys, you're trusting that guys like Towns, Wiggins, Rose, Teague, when he gets back to the lineup, those guys can help compensate for that kind of thing. And so as far as Josh Okogie, right now, I'm going to be super bold and think he's probably one of the better 8-9 players, top 10 for sure, in this rookie class right now. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed. Obviously, guys like Wendell Carter Jr., Jaren Jackson, Luka, those guys are really good. But there's not a lot of guys in this rookie class that you would be able to talk me into over Josh Okogie just because of the elite level. If you're comparing to the rookies, he's an elite defender amongst these rookies, amongst this rookie class, and he is playing in enough of a free-flowing offense where he is able to find production, and I think there's a real ceiling that he can hit playing alongside guys like Towns and Wiggins that I just don't think he's hit yet, but I think is coming. And so if you're comparing him against these rookies, I would put him in the top 10 for this rookie class. And for somebody that you drafted at number 20, that is really good. That's really good. And again, I know that Lonnie Walker isn't playing. I know that some of these teams just don't have the talent around them like Josh Okogie has around him. And you can skew this stuff a bunch of different ways, but if you're just looking at the production for what he's doing and what he's excelling at and what his team needs and comparing that stuff and comparing the stats to the other rookies, I really think that he is one of the top 10 rookies right now. And there's a real roadmap to where he could be one of the top 6-7 guys out of this draft class after when the year is all said and done, which is really great for somebody you took 20. All right, so that was a real deep look at some of the stats Josh Okogie has had this year. And if you are wanting something about the Kings, go back to yesterday's podcast and listen to Matt George and I talk about the Kings and about the Timberwolves in that matchup in that game. Thank you guys so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.